As the fighting in Libya intensifies and grows more bloody by the day, there's a growing international debate about imposing a no-fly zone over the country. Those in favor say an unchecked Libyan air force could massacre civilians and hamper rebel efforts to topple the Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi. Just this week, Gaddafi's loyalist forces used airstrikes against rebels fighting in the North African country. Massachusetts Senator John Kerry, who chairs the Foreign Relations Committee, is among those who say a no-fly zone should be considered. Here he is earlier this week.
I don't see military intervention as one of the options on the table. I think a no-fly zone is as far as we might consider, and only, again, to prevent massacre from taking place.
But others are wary of the idea, including Defense Secretary Robert Gates and Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown, who warns a no-fly zone could lead to a prolonged military commitment in Libya. Here to consider all this is Nicholas Burns. He's a former Undersecretary of State under President George W. Bush and a former U.S. ambassador to NATO. He's currently a professor of diplomacy and international politics at the Harvard Kennedy School. And Nicholas Burns, thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Well, the pleasure's ours. First of all, should the U.S. be supporting and or preparing for the imposition of a no-fly zone over Libya?
Well, I think we should be trying to exert political and military pressure on the Gaddafi regime to convince Gaddafi and his sons to leave power. The way to do that is going to be very important and very difficult by moving the fleet close to the Libyan coast, by perhaps getting the fleet ready to deliver humanitarian food and medical aid to refugees, by being in a position to block the import of arms to the Gaddafi regime. There's a lot we can do to pressure Gaddafi. A no-flight zone would be desirable if it were possible to implement. But here's the problem. It would need to be multilateral. The NATO alliance would be the perfect instrument for it. But NATO operates by consensus, meaning every one of the 28 countries has to agree. And currently, at least Turkey and Germany have some doubts. It would also work best if it had international legitimacy credibility from the UN Security Council, but China and Russia are likely to use their veto to impede that. And finally, the United States has to ask what amounts to an existential question. Do we want to be part of this military conflict, this civil war in Libya? Because if we implement a no-fly zone, we'll have to bomb radar sites. We have to bomb surface-to-air missile sites. Our aircraft would essentially be joining the rebel army in support of the rebel army. And you have to ask the question that Colin Powell asked so many years ago, the pottery barn rule. Mm-hmm. If you break it, you own it. Do we want to own Libya? Do we want to become an active participant in this civil war? So I'm not saying it shouldn't be done, but I do think that President Obama is right to be cautious.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're saying that moving toward a no-fly zone really is tantamount to pretty serious military involvement that might not be so easy to back out of.
You know, a no-flight zone, the type of military action required under a no-flight zone, is tantamount. I think the Libyans would see it as tantamount to an act of war. And so it's very important that we understand what we're doing. If we take this step, we're already engaged in two land wars in the greater Middle East, in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and we've got to be very careful that we don't get ourselves dragged into a third war in the Middle East. And so I think that caution is the order here. There may be other things we can do to pressure Gaddafi, to isolate him, and to try to drive him from power, rather than putting the United States into this type of war where we don't even really know the rebel groups very well. We'd be essentially aiding and abetting the rebel groups, and yet we don't know any of them personally. We have no idea what their political ideology is and whether or not how they would govern if they replaced Gaddafi. Lots of questions to ask.
Well,
before we leap into a war.
Sure. Note of caution there from Nicholas Burns. And let me ask you to sort of put on your hat as the former NATO ambassador. My understanding is that NATO officials are planning to consider options tomorrow. What's the dynamic there at NATO headquarters in Brussels?
Well, you know, I think the United States and Britain, especially France and Italy, these are the countries that have direct interest in Libya. They also want to respond to the humanitarian imperative. No one wants to see Gaddafi inflict this cynical and brutal treatment, damage on civilian population. No one wants to see protesters shot in the streets. So if there's something that NATO can do to, in essence, weaken the Gaddafi regime by putting our fleets closer to his shore, get assistance to the refugee population, which we should be doing for humanitarian purposes, and try to stop him. But can we do that short of becoming part of the war itself? I think that's where the debate's going to lie at NATO on Thursday and Friday when defense ministers meet there.
I see. And what about UN? How important is it to get the involvement of the UN? I understand that both France and Britain are preparing to introduce a no-fly zone resolution at the UN. But as you mentioned, China would oppose it.
Yeah, I think it's generally very important to have United Nations Security Council support. It gives credibility to an international action. But in this case, the Chinese, because they don't want to see anyone else involved in their own internal affairs, are very likely to veto this resolution, such a resolution. The Russians might as well. So if NATO does want to act, it may have to act as it did in Kosovo in 1999 without UN Security Council support.
Let me push back just a tiny bit and get you to respond to the concern on the other side. You've echoed an understandable note of caution about sort of leaping forward toward a no-fly zone. On the other hand, folks have pointed out that we sort of dithered and looked the other way in Rwanda. The conflict in Bosnia was allowed to go on and on before there was sort of robust intervention from NATO. Is there a concern there that not intervening more forcefully could create more deaths and more chaos in Libya?
Oh, I think this is a great dilemma, and you've really focused on the central issue. When is it right and when is it proper for us to intervene in a foreign conflict? We were too late in Rwanda in 1994, and there was a genocide there where nearly 1 million people were killed. In Bosnia, nearly 250,000 people died. We waited 4.5 years before we intervened. And so at what point do you use this great military power we have? We can't intervene everywhere in the world, but what's the trigger point? And certainly I think the scale of a humanitarian disaster is one thing to look at. We don't want to see people subjugated by their own government. We don't want to see civilians in Tripoli shot in the streets because they're exercising the same freedoms that we want, that we have here at home. And so I think at this point, I think that we have an obligation to try to help the refugees. We can do that by rushing food and medical assistance to them. Whether or not we take the next step of becoming part of the war itself.
Right, that's the big question.
That's the big question. I think that deserves a little bit of thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the president is right to ask a lot of questions before we act impulsively.
Well, Nicholas Burns, thank you for helping us think this through. We're very grateful.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Nicholas Burns is a former Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs. He's now a professor of diplomacy and international politics at the Harvard Kennedy School.
Well, coming up after a quick break, put down those angry birds and take off the World of Warcraft headset. We'll be joined by video game visionary Jane McGonigal, who'll tell us why she thinks online gaming has the power to change the real world. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.